Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language and... I got a bad throat there. Content that some listeners may find offensive and out to brainwash people. I said it off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to re-record that one with the cough and kept it in.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language and a re-record that Selena really wants and content and language that some listeners may find offensive.
Also, a lesson on Selena about editing because we can cut things out.
Oh, you're going to cut the cough out.
Yeah. We can cut you out, Selena. Stop.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast
with your hosts, T, Cleves, and Selena.
Every week, bringing some much needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Hello, 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 everybody. This is Chad Michael Boughton of Unsighted Radio, welcoming you to Unsighted Radio on April 1st.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this, well, you can't, that's only a Twitch thing because it'll be completely irrelevant when this episode comes out.
It's more of an April Fool's thing, I would assume.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. None of this makes any sense.
No, you can't have any of this.
It's a full on Twitch thing. We're all redoing tea.
So, welcome to Seesaw Podcast, the podcast that is the show that really needs a calendar, at least for tea. Thank you for joining us, Cleves. What are we chatting about this week?
Here's the topic that I pitched. Brainwashing.
Head and shoulders.
That's not what I pitched. I pitched mental conditioning and cant culture. Right, this is my pitch, right? I figured that perhaps in my infernal wisdom over the past, let's say, 3 years of this podcast, I've been a bit guilty of basically saying, why don't you just fucking go out and do this? And it perhaps has dawned on me that maybe the reason disabled people just don't go out and do the shit that I've been telling them to do is probably because they've not had the same life that I've had, in the sense of maybe they've been brought up in a different way and maybe they've not had the same support and guidance and opportunities that I've had. So here's where my mental conditioning, and I don't know if I've coined that phrase. I'm definitely coining cant culture. Everyone else can suck that. That's my fucking phrase.
That's a phrase.
Fuck off. It's my phrase. Basically, what it is I believe that the reason that disabled people believe that they can't do things is due to various reasons, such as upbringing, schooling, society in general, maybe social media, maybe the fact that certain models are pushed on to disabled people. And all of this combines into a thought process whereby disabled people feel like they just can't do something. And they genuinely believe they can't do something, even though in actual fact, they should just get out and fucking do it.
I think for context of this, we should say that we have met a lot of sheltered blind people.
Disabled people generally, I would say.
I've not met many disabled people, transgender, but you two can probably attest to that.
Here's the whole thing, right? I'm going to start with saying, why do disabled people think that they potentially can't do the things they in actual fact they probably can. And I'm going to start with early age, your parents. Mm-hmm. If you've got parents that coddle you, or indeed just straight up tell you that you can't do things, from an early age, when your brain is basically just a sponge absorbing everything that it can, it's going to be pretty difficult to get past that as a child if your parents are doing everything for you. Because firstly, if they are doing everything for you, perhaps it's going to start to be instilled on you that you potentially can't do those things. And if they straight up tell you you can't do those things, even though you can, or rather showing you how it can be done with adjustments, you're going to start to think that you can't do those basic tasks.
But arguably, as a child, don't you naturally rebel? If your parents say you can't do something, you rebel. Isn't that what any normal child does? That's what I did.
They do. We're all coming from a place where we could see a little bit as a child.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can't see anything, do you think it's trickier to rebel against those things? If that's all you know.
Mm. Also, yeah, that is a good point. Because the thing that I was, when you raised this topic, I immediately remembered a time. So when I was younger and had quite good partial sight, I say quite good, I had like 660 vision, top letter on the chart. Could read probably. But yeah, when I was 8 or 9, back in the day, I was allowed to just go out and play with friends and, you know, no mobile phones or anything. You just always miss your curfew and turn up late. But, you know, it was a safe world out there.
Rebel.
And then when
it wasn't, you only just started to learn about paedophiles when we were like in our 20s.
Yeah.
It was still happening back then.
Didn't realize it was.
About it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Seemed like a safe world out there. And then when I lost quite a bit of my vision, probably like I was reading like 72 font. So I had gone from like quite good partial vision to that. And then I'd lost all my independence, and then I've got my parents saying, no, you can't go out. And I distinctly remember rebelling, like, because I used to have all this freedom. I didn't really care that I couldn't really see anymore. I walked out the front door, needed to drop something at a friend's house. It wasn't a particularly dangerous route, no main roads to cross, a few side roads, 15-minute walk or so. Just, yeah, stormed out the house. And then my dad was curb crawling behind me in the car. So they kind of let me do it. But the little old lady did say, did you know there's a man following you? So yeah, it's my dad. But yeah, I rebelled straight away. I didn't even...
But
once
what happens,
lost that,
right? If you didn't even know that that rebellion really existed, what do you rebel against if you think you've got necessarily nothing to rebel against? If you think this is your world and that you have to rely on other people to do things, can you really rebel against them because you need them to do that shit for you?
If you see other people doing stuff, don't you want to do, even, you know, even if you've not got other visually impaired role models around you, if you see, if you're assuming you're a mainstream school, because a lot of people are these days, if you see your friends doing stuff, or not necessarily friends, because you might not have any friends, if you see your peers doing stuff, don't you think, I want to do that as well? Where's the curiosity? Where's the want?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I do kind of agree with Cleves here, that people are very much results of their upbringing, in the sense that if you've never had anything offered to you, you don't know any better. And even if you can understand the outside, like if you know the other kids are going out and all that sort of stuff, in this situation, you know, like it's being ingrained in you that you're different. That you have a different circumstance, and that's why the world is different for you.
Must be scary.
Yeah.
Like if other people are able to do this thing, and your entire life you've been told you can't do the same thing as them because of your disability, must be difficult to actually pluck up the courage to go, actually, I can.
Yeah. But I was told by my parents, you can't go out, and I just did it anyway.
Do you think it was good that your parents knew that you were rebelling and sort of were like, that's fine, it's good that she's doing that, but also kept an eye on you?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think that's like, quite good.
Because they could have, you know, they didn't have to follow me, they could have just grabbed me and walked me back straight into the house.
What made you want to rebel, though?
Because I didn't really see the problem. To me, I could still see enough. to go out to my friends like I used to when I had a bit more sight. I didn't see the danger. I didn't realize the issue. Like, I literally just walked, no cane or anything, just walked straight out of the house. Didn't
You're
have any cane training
ignorance
back then.
Right now.
Yeah. But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's good to not know all the things that could and can go wrong.
But a lot of people would have been brought up being told the dangers and being made acutely aware that if you do this, this is going to happen. It's the worst case scenario. Don't do it. We'll help you.
Yeah.
I mean, I rebelled hard when I got older, especially when getting to the age of like 15, 16 years old. And some people might say, oh, that's just being a teenager and all that. But like, my mates were going out, you know, they were drinking in the park. You know, you want to meet girls or, that's the sort of life you're living. Like, you want to get out there and you want to do things. And even then, when I got to 18, where I could actually drink at pubs, I just went out and just did things. And I knew that it really bugged my parents. But they got easier with it down the line because they knew something like, nothing bad was going to happen. So I think I was coddled a little bit in that regard, but I have seen it much, much worse.
If we just talk about teenage years for a second, a lot of this is when you're going through the school systems and mm-hmm. you'll be around this, like a lot of the time, this is where you meet your initial friends. And yep. then you start to want to emulate your peers or role models in that respect. And potentially if you've got disability, it's going to be trickier to do that, particularly if you've already grown up with this innate fear that something bad's going to happen because that's what your parents have instilled into you. But do you think the school system is also doing this to disabled people as well?
Yeah.
All right, it's just a straight up yes. Okay, yeah. Fine. Straight up, the schools are also making disabled people feel like they're different and that they can't join in or do the same activities as abled people.
Too right. I wasn't allowed to do PE at school.
What?
Now I'm an athlete. It's ridiculous. But yeah, health and safety, didn't know how to adapt the sessions for me. You go and have Braille lessons instead.
Well, that's boring.
Yep.
My PE teacher was actually a fucking lad. I loved him. But you basically see that I couldn't do badminton very well because I couldn't see the shuttlecock. And he's like, what can you see? And I was like, I can see stuff when it's pretty close up. He's like, how are you with table tennis? I'm like, it's not too bad if it's like slow. And he was like, well, there you go. Just play that. And then she just said, that was it. He was like, there you go. You can do that instead.
Yeah.
But he basically gave me the options. And it's people like that or people in schools that I think
should
be giving people other options of stuff that either they can do or adaptive versions of what can be done. When he saw that I couldn't do badminton particularly well, he was like, is there anyone else that wants to do table tennis at the same time? And they just rotated the fucking classes. Mm. And that was it. It was as simple as that. Also, we got to play with the women as well, so that was pretty But it was the only time that like the girls and guys actually had joint PE classes when people were playing table tennis. So they're cool. We'll play mixed doubles, nice. Yeah.
But I think when we're talking about like the schools, you've got to remember they have a duty of care, and there is a part of it where you might have a teacher, especially in your case, Selena, where they weren't so great, thinking not necessarily how do we make this accessible, but what can we do to make sure we don't have any civil or criminal cases brought against us from something bad happening. And they might have just been uncreative and just gone, oh, the best thing to do is just not have them do anything.
Yeah, I did run into a netball post and chip my tooth.
Sorry.
I don't know if that was the start of it.
No.
Well, I don't know. It was a two different schools. So, like, in Leicestershire back in the day, we used to do year 7 to 9 in one school and then year 10, 11 in another school. So it was a different school that excluded me from PE. I think I might have done it year 7 to 9, and I don't think I did it year 10, 11.
True, but when you shut to a school with a tooth for your forehead because you run into a post, they're going to immediately think you might be a little bit of a liability.
Yeah, I do remember the PE teacher. The first thing she said is, your mum's going to kill me. She was cacking herself. But you know what? These things, it doesn't matter if you make mistakes or if accident happen. That's how you learn and become resilient and become a person who doesn't become doing nothing. But I don't know how much of it is can't and how much is it won't.
Because how much of it is teachers being lazy for a start and not putting in adaptive versions of sports for people with disabilities?
Is it them not being educated, though? Is it just they don't know? Is it parents just genuinely not knowing what blind people can do? Is it schools genuinely knowing what disabled people can do?
It's probably a bit of everything. I think that all kind of comes back to, if none of these people know, none of these people are educated, none of these people will make the adjustments for you, even if they don't know. Like when I talk about my PE teacher, he didn't know exactly what I could do, but he asked me. And I said, this is what I could do. And he said, well, in that case, you can do this. But if
I think there's a whole thing, though, that disabled people don't like being asked. Didn't we do a whole topic on that?
Yeah.
They can't get their fucking shit together. We can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, if you're getting this from people all around, it kind of alienates you to an extent. And again, it kind of contributes to this mental conditioning of maybe I'm different to everyone else, maybe I can't do the same things as everyone else.
But at the same time, should we realize our limitations? Like, realistically, we literally can't do everything that sighted people do. With the best will in the world, there are literally some things that are impossible.
It's fair to say there are some dangers in doing exactly the same things that sighted people would do, but having been...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
I'm told constantly throughout your life, from an early age from your parents, now you're in school, maybe you're saying that you can't do exactly the same things as other people, or just being told straight up you can't do it and not giving you the alternatives, I start to think that you're sort of building this picture as a disabled person that maybe I just can't do things.
So what is the benefit of telling a child they can't make a cheese sandwich when they have no sight?
Oh, cardinal sin.
Because...
until they're the age of 18 and they learn.
No, because parents would rather just see themselves do it than watch their kid be hurt in any way.
Maybe you cut with a fucking butter knife.
Might cut their finger.
It's protective, isn't it?
What's the worst that's going to happen is they'll cut their finger.
Right.
And they don't want that to happen.
Yeah, they want that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a learning experience and they won't do it again, hopefully. Because they know not what to do. What about putting a wash on and, like, washing machine if you show them, like, with the bump dots, put those on your machine. Worst thing happens, they shrink their clothes.
Then they got no clothes. Now what?
We're not going to wash everything once, are you? I'm going to stand there and they're fucking... like,
oh, your favourite clothes is gone. Your favourite jeans are too small.
Well, then they learn.
But maybe they just want to look after and care for their child. What's wrong with that? But they will
die at some point. That's the problem.
Gosh.
You mean the parents, not the kid.
The parents will die at some point, and then what the kid's going to do?
Well, they're thinking about that.
Years old looking after their 60-year-old child who's blind.
In some cases.
To be fair.
Which, frankly, you know, that's not a life I would want. Yeah.
But at the same time, you're not a parent. None of us are parents. So we're dissing parents because we have parents, but we don't actually know what it's like to be on the other end of it. And that protective mode.
But saying that, being disabled does not make you think that if you were a parent, you would be much more understanding with their want for freedom and independence.
Yeah, but our parents aren't disabled. They don't know that.
No, true. Exactly.
My parents were going through a bit of a journey in the same way I did, in the sense that they don't know what it's like to have a kid that's going blind.
But the world wasn't there. Like, social media wasn't there. I'm a part of the Nystagmus Network parents group, and I'm not a parent. And I answer questions every single week of people saying, like, they just at me on there saying, my kid is going through this at school. What can I do? And it's like, give them freedom. This is what you can help them with. But ultimately, they've got to also find their own way. And that's a tool that wasn't available when we were growing up.
True. And I'm glad you've nicely segued onto social media, because let's say you've grown up with, you know, parents and then also the school system. Anyway, maybe you get a little bit older, especially not even that old now. You're on social media. It's nice to have people that are feeling the same thing as you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about if there's a billion other people out there who have had the same problems, in the sense that people have coddled you their entire life, the school system has let you down in certain things, and then everyone's going, yeah, but we can't do this. We can't do this now. It's not just me, it's we can't do this. The entirety of the blind or deaf or paraplegic community can't do this thing, because now everyone on social media is telling me that we can't do it.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem. But they feel great to be part of a community, and finally other people that have come from their situation understand, and they feel like, yes, this must be correct. We are all in this together.
Again, it's sort of perpetuating the stereotype that disabled people can't do things.
Well, it's a negative spiral. Like, you get sucked into it, and then before you know it, like, you are being a stereotype. Not through any fault of your own. But how do you break that? I mean, it's hard to. Like, you have to be a very certain type of person to go against the curve anyway. In just general culture. And we've seen a lot of movements, like, culturally in the past, which we would designate minorities, like punk movements and stuff like that, from individuals who went counterculture. And we're looking at a more niche of this. We're looking at disabled communities, usually specific disabilities, and then also individuals who are going to go against that as well. So it's fragmented really, really down to the bottom level. And I think that's hard to get away from.
What I would say is, with social media, despite the fact that there is your own echo chamber sort of social media out there, because the internet is so widespread, worldwide, if you will, terms of the web.
Thank you. Yeah.
There will also be these groups of people that are positive and pro-disability, and that will be able to tell you, oh, if you want to be able to do this thing, you can probably do it like this, or at least signpost you to someone closer to your own disability that is able to do something in a certain way.
I get what you're saying, but it's not like there's a big advertisement board on the internet for people. Like, you have to actively go and seek that, even if you're in a community where you've been accepted and maybe they don't necessarily resonate with what you think, but they might grind you down, and you need to actively go and seek that out.
Compared to those that have a negative, or what I perceive to be a more negative outlook on life, they're the ones with the thousands and thousands of followers. But those who are not conforming to that idea, people aren't really interested. People don't like positive.
You're not wrong.
Here's the other thing I find as well. Not only disabled people are buying into this shit, I feel like society as a whole are sort of buying into this shit, in the sense of, a lot of the time, you know, you get people within the media, big personalities, that are like, either two sides, either one, disabled people just can't do this, that's one side of the media, or two, why the fuck aren't disabled people doing this? What the hell is wrong with them? And if I had to lean towards one of the pure extremists, it would be probably more towards the, why the hell aren't you doing this? But this is why I'm trying to explore this side of things, because perhaps people just don't have the whole cognitive attitude of the fact that maybe that's even a possibility. And I think what feeds into this as well is the social model of disability. Because basically what it says is, the whole fucking world's not made for you. And that's everyone else's fault. And you just can't do shit. It's one of the negative aspects of that model.
It's a shit model.
That's it. Just it's a shit model.
I mean, I've said it before, and it takes all blame off of disabled people and all responsibility off of them. Blame is a bad word. And there's no blame here. You didn't choose to be disabled unless you're an idiot and swan dived into an empty pool or something like that.
Can't say unless you have transableism. We also covered that once.
Valid point, but let's not go down that route. You didn't decide to be disabled. The world is not made up for you. But why is it going to be when you're less than 1% of the population? But you need to be educated to know that you
isn't it 15%? So I'm just saying we the 15 campaign. I think we're 15% of the population.
Is that worldwide?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
I believe so.
Why are you questioning her on 15 when you pulled one out of your arse?
It's we the 15. We're the 15% of the world has a disability.
Okay. Us 15 people in the world. 15 disabled in the world.
Three of us right here. Yeah. You're the two or three listening.
Yeah. The fifth of the most important disabled people in the world.
We got you.
Yeah. The social model is dog shit, and it does absolve disabled people to give them the point that they're like, oh, why do I need to try? Because society is like, oh, you don't need to. And I think that is dangerous because when you look at major charities, like where did we get the definition of social model? Was it like Scope or something like that? Even with the look mental training, it's like very heavily mentioned in that. I'm not knocking these charities, but it seems to be the thing that's like severely pushed. Like to absolve disabled people to think that they can't do anything. And that's ultimately what the model says.
It says that the world's not designed for them and that's why you're disabled. However, I would argue that it still feeds into this whole. Imagine if you've literally grown up with everything that we've talked about, right? Your parents have colored you. You say you can't do anything. You've gone to school. They've alienated you. They've put you under different things or just said you straight up can't do certain activities. Then you maybe you've gone to college where the same thing's happened. You look around on social media, you're within groups that are all going, we can't do this. This is a problem because it's not doing what it needs for us. And then you turn around and go, well, none of this is your fucking fault because it's the world's problem.
Yeah.
And it all feeds into this whole mental attitude that a disabled person can't do things. And if you've had that for, let's say, even 15, 20 years of your life, what makes you think that you can go out and get a job? What makes you think you can go out and buy a house or rent or do even basic activities by yourself when you've had this for so long?
You were right at the start. It is a form of brainwashing, like passive brainwashing. It's a
form of abuse.
But it's from everywhere because you can't pinpoint it down. It's brainwashing with a few extra steps.
No, you're absolutely right. But how do you break that cycle?
Stay tuned for part two.
Do they have enough material to stop there?
Probably.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
He is the one who's always like, actually, we've only been recording 4 minutes.
I don't know what time we're on.
I think we should probably pick this up next time in terms of what it is we can do to break the cycle. A lot of it, mainly because I would actually need to research a little bit on what it is we could do to do it. I think
we've covered this topic really well, to be fair. Yeah, I think it's a real big issue, to be fair.
It's a massive thing because it's...
Yeah.
If you can't isolate necessarily just one area, if you talk through a life cycle... Like just then, there's so many different areas that need changing in order to change people's mindsets on it.
I don't think even changing one of them in would make a tangible difference. I think you have to change multiple, but we'll get on to that in the next episode.
Next episode. Yeah.
Right. You're right. And we're not even talking necessarily that. Like you have the friends as well. Even some friends you might get might be browbeaten by parents and family members to look after you, and you might think you're independent, but you're also being looked after to try and perpetuate that as well. I know I had that, and I found out years later that one of my mates was basically and the pain of death by one of my parents to make sure I didn't walk in front of a bus or something. Until one day they're like, oh yeah, my mum always told me if I let anything happen to you, I would be found in a ditch somewhere. And obviously there's no merit to that. We're not talking about my mum killing people. Not that I can say she has or hasn't. I don't know her life.
See the Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
T's mom.
Yeah. The seesaw special. But do you also have that aspect? Like you have all these other minor things that add into it that you don't even think about, and the things that we can't necessarily cover in all of these in these episodes. But they do absolutely happen, and things add up, and even interactions. You go into a coffee shop, and we've all had that handsy person who's really been over the top in helping us. To a certain person, that might also ingrain, you can't do anything. Let me make sure you get a coffee. Let me sit you down and I'll go get you coffee. You know what I mean?
What it all comes down to, and I kind of only speak for myself here because I don't want to speak for anyone else on this podcast, is that I particularly have been a little bit guilty over the years of going, fucking get off your ass and do something. But
yeah.
If you have had all of this happen over the course of your life, then, oh, dare I say, what the hell is wrong with me? Are you going to say I'm being too harsh?
But I don't think you are necessarily being too harsh. I think similarly to you. But if they're actually listening to us and have role models like us that have done things, then why doesn't something spark within them to think, actually, they might be onto something?
I know maybe, you're saying we are all
maybe
great.
I can do this.
Short had role models for 2024. Yeah, baby.
I give up on awards for us now. It's done. Yeah. We never get anything or any recognition because we're too good for that. We're not the kind of people.
They're pricks. We're not sheep.
Jesus.
We're not sheep. We're going to just walk into the, oh, look at us getting angry about the same thing as everyone else and we have a platform. Fuck you guys.
This always starts off really well and declines really quickly.
Let's finish off before I start ragging on awards committees because okay. I'm really annoyed about them.
Right, next week, things you can do to affect a positive mindset or positive change for people that may have had this upbringing or just have these mental thoughts that people can't do things. How do we change can't culture next week?
How do I do the brainwashing?
Kool-Aid.
With a stiff rinse.
Okay.
Bye.
Until then.
Yeah.
See everyone.
Next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us. So if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
You can find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com and you can stream with us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.